for you to know.
Log Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is
That's
a show
Randy
about real
back.
Estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And we're getting into the spring market, spring weather, spring everything, depending on where you are. Of course, in Hawaii, it's always, always warm. But really excited to come back this week and been to a couple conventions and all over the place, actually. It's nice to get settled in and share some time with you. So today, I'm so thrilled. Mary Blake is going to be with us today. Mary's been on several other times and great friend and an amazing, amazing lady. Today we're going to talk about market updates, staying motivated, tips. Mary and I are going to talk story. For those of you in Hawaii, you know, of course, we always say here in Hawaii, we say talk story means talk story. You just talk and go back and forth. And it's all, talk story is always a great time. And nowadays, so many people don't take the time to get in and just talk story and just talk about anything and everything. Of course, today we'll be focused more on market updates. Also, staying motivated. How many of you out there have it's already passed the New Year's resolutions and gotten back to old habits and old ways, because old ways are so comfortable? And how do you stay motivated with everything going on around to focus on your dreams and move forward and find that balance? Mary's a pro at teaching us how to do that. Mary is an author, healer, and counselor. She's been in ministry. She's just, oh my goodness, just amazing, amazing. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming on again. I so appreciate it. So we're going to have
enough
fun this hour.
Well, yep. You always find very interesting things to talk about.
I love it. We've been you're up in New York in Manhattan, right near. Have you been to the park lately? You're so close to Central Park.
Actually, I was in the park I think the day before yesterday, and it's really getting warm. It's getting finally spring. And I think probably it's going to become just summer just overnight, and that's it. But, you know,
it has
been an interesting spring is all I can say.
That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about, I just want to bring in, because we're going to go into a lot of other things in markets. Tell us a little bit about you, because for listeners that haven't heard you before, you've had an interesting life, and you don't mind, which in the old days, we never told our age, right? Women would just, women just seem to not, I mean, have you heard, you know, the stories where people say they found out, guess what, I thought my mother was this age, or they married and they found out they were a lot
older.
Oh, yeah.
I know people who really, their mother blotted out the year on their birth certificate. And also, I knew a woman who would say, a woman who would tell you her age will tell you anything.
Oh, so, no. Oh, that's a good thing to remember.
Yeah, right.
And it's very funny.
It's a fact of life, and it's the more you try to hide something, the more it sticks in your consciousness, and you have to worry about being so careful. And I think that burrows it in deeper. as far as I'm concerned.
You know, that's a good point, because if you're worried about it, just like worried about weight, it's hard to lose weight, worried about when you focus on something, it comes to you,
yeah.
You know? That's
exactly.
You've just gone against odds, and you're so healthy and vibrant.
Oh, my.
And it's just like, your energy, I've seen, your energy is better than some people I've seen that are 50.
Well, you know, I just, I really believe that it's pretty ridiculous to worry about age, because there was an old baseball player in the Black Baseball League years ago. His name was Satchmo Paige, and he was born in slavery. And he actually didn't have any idea how old he was. So a reporter was challenging him and saying, doesn't it bother you not to know how old you are? He says, no. He says, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you was?
That's a great point.
So if you don't know how old you are, if you don't even think about an age, you are just you. And it's fantastic being you.
Mm.
But
absolutely.
If you have to worry about other people's standards and what they will think about you and how they will feel about you and change their opinion about you after you're a certain age or something, or certain you can't do certain things because you're a certain age, that's ridiculous.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Look at that 97-year-old yoga teacher.
Mm.
You know?
That's it. And you still do yoga too, right? You still do yoga now.
Yes, I do.
It's amazing.
I think that it's one of the most powerful things to maintain youth and flexibility that there is.
It's amazing. Do you mind if we say your age? Because I know that's not
the
it's just because we really want to help people and stay motivated, and these things we hear all the time that people take as fact, which aren't fact. Just like you said, it's how you think.
Yeah. No, I'm 87, and basically. I'm healthier than I was when I was 30, which incidentally was my worst birthday of all time.
Why?
I wasn't young anymore. I was leaving the 20s.
Oh, it really hit you hard, huh?
I suffered. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And by the time I was 40, I was in fantastic shape. I had divorced the guy who practically killed me. With his control freak kind of thing and everything, and I was madly in love. 40 was a fantastic birthday, and 50, I think it's kind of a spiritual rebirth for women, particularly. And it's a time in which you really can choose how you want to live the rest of your life. And 50
like
was
you're old
about
enough. You're old enough to know, but you know that saying, you're old enough to know better, but still young enough to do it, which is another saying that's probably not, yeah. And 50s, I think 50 is more that midlife time for women these days.
It's an exciting time, just a really exciting time. I started my ministry when I was 50.
Wow! You changed it
for my life work. And up until then, I was basically working to pay the bills.
So you decided you found your mission, your dream, or
right
at 50.
Right. I had to admit. That who I am and what I actually surrendered to what I came here to do.
Wow.
Because when I grew up in Southern Illinois, in the middle of the Bible Belt,
mm-hmm.
it, women, I mean, if you weren't married by the time you were 21 or so, you were on your way to being an old maid, you know, and it was okay to be a teacher or to be a Sunday school teacher or something like that, but to be a secretary.
But it was very limited. Very limited.
Terribly limited. Yes. Exactly.
You know, I was just listening in Iran now. Women are able to vote, but they're still not able to drive cars.
Yep.
Or is that Saudi Arabia? I'm getting mixed. Yeah, that's just amazing that we're women. You know, different areas are.
It is all a lot in the Arab world. Yeah, that's crazy. But look at what they do in the religious things where they do the mutilization of babies, of young children. Think about that. It's hard.
Yeah, we're very spoiled in the U.S. I was hearing about, there's a lot of things going on even in the U.S. Like, I was surprised that we were hearing about sexual slavery that I was shocked is happening in the U.S. and they're working to end it, because you would think that it would only be in other countries, but it's not. Although overall, we have so much freedom here, you know. And then you get the dark side.
If we stand up for it, if we refuse to accept other things. If we work, literally reach out and work to eliminate the shreds of that old horrible stuff that still hang around.
What do you think about with all the social networking and then the news, and we have the fake news and the bad news and the good news, and it's hard to know in some situations what's really true and not true, which it's kind of sad, I think, because when I grew up, it was easier to know, you know, hey, this is good news, this is bad news. But what do you think about it? Do you think it's affecting people's mindsets?
It's a side effect of the fact that there are innovations in our scientific accomplishments and our social development have not kept pace with each other. We need to focus a lot more on the realization of the human spirit
and
honoring the human being as a spiritual being.
Absolutely.
Because we really
your
are.
Love and
we're
peace
not
is
just,
so crucial.
We're not
so
bone
that makes
and
sense.
Flesh.
No, love
we're
spirit
not property
is so
that can be transferred from one place to another.
Absolutely not. No. And you're right. Well, now, you know, the new trend is the algorithms doing virtual reality and it's just unbelievable what they're doing now with everything. And they're taking away, I think they're taking away the emotional side of it, but who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
On the other hand, it's a time that we have to be more vigilant and use discrimination. This is a magic word, discrimination. And we are challenged.
Okay,
it's a transitional period. It's a transitional period from believing everything you read in the newspaper to saying, wait just a minute, let's test this out and see if it's real.
Right.
It's a lot.
It's amazing, though, how we're created. You know, God created us. It's amazing the way we're created miraculously and how our bodies can heal themselves. Of course, I'm saying people should go to the doctor and there's times to take medicine and other things. But it's just amazing how so much of what's going on in our health starts with our mindset, starts with, you know, how we're taking care of ourselves. It's nature. Mother Nature is so eons ahead of us, right, still,
with all the
technology.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we have been brainwashed much by many of the traditional organizations, and when you stop and think about it, we've been condition that the doctor is a demigod, and whatever
right.
they say is right. And the amazing thing is that the subconscious clicks in when a doctor says, you have this, and you only have 6 months to live. Well, the subconscious clicks in and starts manifesting that reality if you believe it. If you say, wait just a minute, I'm going to check out another, that doesn't feel right. I'm going to go to another doctor and find this out. I had, for example, in 2004, I broke my shoulder. And I went to the emergency room, and the doctor said, well, you broke your shoulder, and you won't be able to lift your arm above your waist for the rest of your life. I said, no, I won't.
I didn't know you broke your shoulder. You, man, wow. And so you did, I mean, you have no problem. Well, just mentioning that, you said, no, you wouldn't. You had a fall last, was it August of 2016?
Yeah.
And I got
tangled up in some fan wires. Yeah.
Oh,
broke
no.
my hip. Yeah. So,
and tell us about that, because there's so many people that they'll say, once people fall and they're older, that's it. And you hear it over and over at times because people aren't getting, they're not getting up, they're laying in bed, and then things go downhill. So tell us, because I saw you, I can't believe it's already been December already, but it's been several months. That's amazing how time flies. But and you were amazing. You could do yoga that I can't even do in my 50s. Right. You just tell it. You're just like against all odds. And I know it's your mindset and how you take care of yourself and what you do. So tell us what happened with the fall and how quickly you bounced back in this past 2016.
Well, I broke my hip and they took me to the hospital. I had an ambulance take me to the hospital. And I had the surgery to repair it, and then after a couple of days, the physical therapist came in, and they tried me with a walker. They said, "Well, we'll try it and let's see how it goes." I said, "I really want to get out of here," and so they said, "Well, let's try it." And so I was on the used the walker. And they looked at me and they said, the second day they said, you know, you're doing so well. Let's try a cane. I said, great. I hate this walker. So I said, you'd have to lean over and pick it up and, you know, everything. It was really slowed me down. So I started with a cane. And after 2 days, after I think the third day with the cane, they had me try steps, and they said, well, you're cleared to walk with a cane. So at 6 days, I walked out of the hospital with a cane. They said, we have to take you down. I said, I don't want the walker. Don't even give it to me. And they insisted on giving it to me, and they insisted on taking me to the ground floor with a wheelchair, and I said, I really don't need this wheelchair. But anyway, I got up out of the wheelchair and walked out of the hospital on a cane, and I stood and waited until my friend who was driving me home came to pick me up. And then the other thing was that they wanted to put me on blood thinners. And this is ridiculous. I said, you know, I weigh somewhere between 110 and 115 pounds. I have low blood pressure. My blood is perfectly fine. And when you gave me two of those shots, I had a bruise from my thigh all the way down to almost to my ankle. And I said, if I needed a blood thinner, I wouldn't be bruising like this after two shots. What do you think is going to happen after a month?
Right.
And they insisted. They wanted to put me on Eliquis, which $280 a month copay. And I looked at them and I said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not about to pay $280 for something I'll never use. Because when I get out of this hospital, I'm doing my own thing. So I signed out against medical advice.
Did they want you to get a rehab after that? Right. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They wanted to send me to a rehab. And I said, I'm not going. What I really want to do is go home because I can do better at home than I can in a hospital when I have to wait for things, you know. And so I had home care. I had home care for 2 weeks, and then they discharged me because I was able to go outside and walk and go to the bank and go. It was ambulatory. I was
unbelievable. Within weeks.
Yeah. Amazing. Less than 3 weeks after the surgery. And at the three-week checkup, the doctor looked at me and he said, I do hundreds of these surgeries. And about 70 out of 100, about 70 people would come in on a stretcher. 25 would come in a wheelchair. 5 would come in on a walker. And maybe 0.1% would come in on a walker, walking with a cane. But I've never seen anyone. And I went out. I went on the bus, and I went to his office and walked in with a cane all by myself.
Wow.
And he said, "I've never seen anyone but you come in. But it's something that everybody could do if they just believe that they can do it." Because what you believe you can do is much more important than what the doctors tell you you can do.
Oh, wow. Right. Yeah, absolutely. That is so true. I mean, I know I have a client on the Big Island that was going through having hip surgery, right, the same time, somewhere after, right after you, and he was having hip surgery on one side and then the other side, so it was a planned surgery, right?
Uh-huh.
And he took several months, I mean, on each one, and he was could barely get out of the bed. I mean, I was telling, because of you, I was telling his his partner, I was telling her, get him up. I have a friend who, like, is like, unbelievable, you know, because we do have to, because it's so easy to just go, I quit, or I can't move, or it's too painful, or it's too whatever, right? And and listen to what the doctors say. You're amazing.
I had one very young guy. He was a nurse, and he came in, and I was using my cane, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to the bathroom." He says, "Not on my watch." I said, "Look, just sit down. We'll talk about this after I get back from the bathroom."
Oh my! You know, I have a friend, Osama Murata, is 89 and on island, and he had a mild stroke. His family begged him to stop driving, so he takes the bus to Honolulu from Eva 4 or 5 times a week. He spends hours, you know, and no problem, walks and walks. So he had a very mild stroke. He says, no, it's not a stroke. They tried to put him in rehab. He signed himself out as well. I remember talking to him on the phone. He said, they won't even let me go to the bathroom, you know, by me, because they're afraid you're going to fall, right? That's the thing. Same thing. They wanted to give him all this medicine, and I was worried. I said, you've got to take something, because what if you get a clot? I mean, you know your body better. I mean, and there's a happy medium, right,
better.
As far as, amazing. I mean, just, and we have people in their, you know, much longer, year, you know, decades younger that start falling apart. But I wanted to mention it today about because you hear it over and over. I just had a friend who lost his mother who was early 90s, and she had a fall, and that was it. She didn't recover. Then you hear, because and he said to me those exact words, you know, the other day. He said, it happens all the time. And I'm like, no, it doesn't always, but we think it happens, right? And people believe
it. Well, they start loading you up with all of these medications that have terrible side effects. So then they give you more prescriptions to take care of the side effects that the first prescription made.
Right.
Then they give you more side effects from the other one. I mean, if you listen to the television commercials, they will rave about a new drug, and then they'll say and may cause dizziness and nausea and sleeplessness and all this and this and this and this, and maybe death, you know. But ask your doctor about this medicine. Well, it really is crazy. The important thing that has saved our lifespan is primarily nutrition and hygiene and
that
exercise.
I mean, exercise, vitamins, what you're doing, right?
You have to have exercise in the day in their daily lives. And then when we got gentrified, shall we say, and started living in the cities, we didn't have that normal exercise every day. You didn't walk miles behind a plow, getting
that makes sense.
Your land ready.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You didn't wrestle with animals, and milk cows and herd sheep and cattle and things like that. You weren't out there, and you weren't doing your washing by hand on a scrub board.
Well, they've eradicated a lot of things now, even though they've got, I mean, some of these mosquito, you know, they've eradicated, you're right, a lot of things that were going to go
but
back. I'm going to take a quick break and then come back and do a market update, because I know a lot of people like to hear what's going on or if they still should move forward or what's happening. And then we're going to get back into motivation and dreams. What keeps you motivated? Because just like you were saying, your mindset has such a big difference. It changes everything, right? It changes everything you're doing, your gifts and your dreams and how to get to your dreams. So I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Realty Universal Radio. We're speaking with Mary Blake, and this is Natalie Mullinex.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
When I was in college in Psych 101 as a freshman, we took a test to determine our creativity. There were 17 in the class, and I remember it well because I finished at the bottom of the class. Here's what I did that really sparked the creativity of my life. I began reading, and I began filing. Somebody else's idea helped me to create an idea, and before long, I began to sense that there was creativity within me. I just realized that I had to, in the beginning, borrow it from others and then build on it. Oh, I love that. Borrow it and then build on it. So if you look at yourself not as a creative person, you can't be any worse than me. I was at the bottom of a class. 60 books later, I've learned to be creative, but it was a learned art in my life. So go inside. It's there. Pull it out.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
I love that, John Maxwell. I was at a convention, and we're going to offer it to our members, his certification and leadership style and tips, etc. And I love that, how he, you know, he's saying go inside and borrow it. And I think one thing, in when we get into mindsets, right, it seems like people, like you said earlier, people are afraid about what other people think, or this isn't okay or that isn't okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
what you focus on really becomes your reality. It really does.
Isn't it amazing, though? We're just really, I think now it's like becoming so, it does, doesn't it? What you do,
mm-hmm.
you know, over and over and over. It's kind of like when somebody buys a new car, they start seeing the car everywhere, right?
Sure. And when you're pregnant, you see pregnant women everywhere you go. You know?
Absolutely. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, but you understand something. I notice how many people these days are walking with a cane. My.
You're right.
I never saw them before. I never noticed them.
Exactly. But now you do.
What you surround yourself, what you pay attention with, what you watch on television. I mean, if you're watching nothing but those horrible judge things where people are talking about beating each other up and stealing from people, stealing from them, and people destroying their property and they're suing them and everything, that's what your reality is going to become.
Exactly, exactly. So it's so real and it's so easy. And you know, in the Bible, as they say, as a man thinketh, so he is. And
right.
Everything was first started with a thought, and then it becomes a reality, right? Everything we in the invention, their technology is coming up with some amazing things that are coming in, but it couldn't have started without something else coming before it, a thought. And if it's so much more simple, isn't it? Much simpler than we make it.
Yes. This is one of the things that I respect and admire so much about you in your real estate business.
Oh, thank you.
Because there is a common thought about people who are in real estate. There's a kind of Simon Legree who are concerned about getting the most money from you. But what I hear from you is that you are almost like a little genie, granting people's wishes to find the best property and to get a way to enjoy it, and that they can and you can help them to do all kinds of things in that way, and you're also helping other realtors to do the same, because you are so creative and motivating.
But it is mindset. It's about serving them. What are their dreams? Where do they want to be? Because there's situations where where maybe it's not in their best interest to sell. Maybe they should do this, but they're stuck and they haven't thought about other ways to do this. You know, you get into commercial real estate and pretty much there's rate of returns and other things. But behind all the needs, there's a dream, right? Or what we want to accomplish, what we want to do, and that's what I learned. Naturally years and years ago, it's not about me, it's how can I serve them, but then I need to communicate, sometimes draw it out of them, what do you really want to be doing here, what's the, and I believe that it's just, as I say on the website, it starts with your heart and soul. I believe it wholeheartedly. I've lived it, and I have visualized over the years, and I have a lot of faith in God, and I am Christian, and I do believe in the Holy Spirit. We get guided if we're doing the right thing. And then it gets difficult, because no matter how much you've grown, no matter how much we've learned in life, it's so easy to get stuck. It's so easy to get our feelings hurt. It's so easy to say, oh, am I doing it wrong? And just like what John Maxwell just said on the break on that commercial, borrow it. What he's saying, don't fear it. Don't stop yourself, right? If you don't know something, learn it, go figure it out. And lots of times we're figuring it out as we're going along, and then things keep coming and opening up, just like when you see canes or you buy a new car and you see the vehicles. It's because when we start creating and we visualize it, it starts popping up. It's reality, and it might sound tutti frutti, but it's not. And it's written through Scripture, all through the Bible. It's written through other teachings.
It's the most practical thing in the world. I mean, look at Japan. Japan was a barbaric culture, and then they saw China, and they took the things they had learned from China. And they perfected them. They added things. They made them more workable. And the same thing with Romans and the Greeks.
Right. We're not supposed to reinvent. The other thing about, like, I want to mention a market update. If people are right now, the market in 2017, we do keep archives so people listen later, and we just sometimes get stuck in the times because what we're teaching, what we talk about, it's nothing new. It's not rocket science, but people need to hear it, and it works in all different times. When it comes to the markets, if you're thinking of buying now, it's still a wonderful time to buy because the rates are still low. And people got really spoiled with lower rates that now that they're going into the fours, people say, oh, the rates have gone up, and they may go into the fives. And there's going to be some market corrections. But what's happening right now, we're seeing the millennials start to buy houses, but we're staying out of the markets for a while. Location, location, mm-hmm. location is always going to be number one. So, you know, in Hawaii, the Big Island, prices have really started going up, even on the Hilo side, which typically were lower. They've been going up a lot in the last year. It depends. Mm-hmm. Hawaii is still moving pretty well, but in all different parts of the country, it varies where you are. But what was happening is it seemed like the builder starts weren't as fast as they used to be. So, and with the interest rates going up, some people aren't able to afford things. We're finding that in the really large cities of America, they're so expensive that even though the wages are going up, there's a disparity because they're not able to afford buying in some large cities, depending on their income. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're it actually is coming, and it's coming to a time where sometimes renting makes more sense than buying. But there's so many other ways to do things, and that's where you really need to get into with a tax accountant and with attorneys and set things up right. You know, if you're buying and you're buying an LLC, then you're going to have, you know, it just depends on what you're buying. So sometimes, you know, if you have to rent and you travel, your company may be able to rent the properties totally legally and have a total write-off. So there's just so many, too many things to go over in a quick market update, but I think we still have a good market. Now, we've been blessed because of years and years in the business. We have networks all around the world, and literally it's different everywhere. In Canada right now, the Canada used to be, it could come to the U.S. and buy so much. Now the dollar's not the same for the Canadians. You know, it's not. So it really is a matter of, you know, and I guess what I want to say is, so the markets are still good. It's definitely still good to buy. The prices went up. The national median gain was like almost 6% last year. In some places, like in Hawaii, we could see 20% gain. Depends on where you are, you know. But the point that I want to make about it, so it really is still a good time to get in. There's so many creative ways. Now, people now, because of the loan crisis, people have to have much better credit, but there's still certain loans you can get with lower scores. I do want to impress, no matter who you are, where you are, whatever, work on getting your credit good. Work on staying out of debt, unless the debt's leverage debt that's going to make you money. You know, there's times when debt is a good thing, too. But work on keeping your, you know, getting your credit good. And don't think, I'll never buy a house. I'll never own. I'll never this. I'll never that. But get into your dream, not trying to stay in touch with the Joneses. So when I say this, I got in the industry, and they were coming out of 18% interest rates in 14. And then when I was in 85, we got down to 9 and, you know, under 10%. And that was phenomenal. So people still bought homes. Sure. People even bought homes in the 14, 18%. People got creative. So just because the market may be doing this or may be doing that, you're here to live in your lifetime, right? You're going to live now. You're not going to live, exactly. I mean, you can't not buy because I'm going to wait 20 years or I'm going to do whatever. You know, you want to look at what really fits your needs. You can have situations. I've seen people with horrible credit be able to assume situation loans that maybe, or there's family situations, or there's people in the markets that, you know, they'll help someone else out. Or so there's so many situations, but just like we were mentioning about when you visualize it, it starts coming to you. You'd be amazed at situations that come up. Somebody may say to you, I'll do a rent with sale with for you. And you can go ahead and rent my house, and I'll still sell it to you, and you can, you know, it'll be a few years from now, or we're going
to
do a
to buy.
Complete owner finance. There's so many ways.
Remember something. You can remember something that some of the greatest fortunes in the United States were created during the Depression.
Good point. Very good point.
So
that was a tough time.
A lot of it is state of mind. A lot of it is who you deal with.
Exactly.
And I can't say how important that is. The trust the people you're dealing with. And if you don't, you're liable to get in trouble no matter what you do and no matter what the market is like.
true, and
sense?
You've got to be careful. It makes total sense and total sense. And so it's important to see, don't compare yourself. See, you know, there's times people, it's just, and our lives are seasonal, right? When we're raising children
mm-hmm.
or we're, you know, you're traveling mm-hmm. or then if you want to settle in one place or, you know, but there's nothing wrong when you go and you say, I want to be in one place and then you change your mind later. I mean, I've done it, you know, a couple times.
Absolutely.
And you just need to follow your heart. So market trends, the markets are still good right now. I know there's a lot, it seems like when the election, when President Trump got in, a lot of people were really, you know, there's a lot of positive, well, we won't go back and forth, you know, there's a lot of positive take on the economy, and now it's a little, you know, it's teeter-tottering, things still look good. I mean, it could turn around and tank at any time. I mean, it could, and I think everybody always needs to prepare so that they're not going out on a limb. They're not going out what people were doing between, like, 2000 and 2007 when you could, if you breathed, you could get a loan in the United States. They were overextending. It's not a good to overextend on, when I mentioned a little bit earlier, there's some debt that's good. If you're leveraging and you're, you know, buying a business and it's going to make you a lot of money, you know, that may be a good debt to have temporarily, right? But then the credit card debt, it just depends. I mean, a credit card debt's not good, but if it's buying a program that just taught you how to make a lot of money, it could be good. But you have to be careful, like Mary said, be careful about who you're with, who you get involved with. But and the one is the thing that I've noticed about successful people overall, and I call success, I look at success like it's because you're going after what you wanted to do. It's not so much like, oh, I've got these accolades and, you know, people have so much money and da-da-da-da. I think success is really doing what you put yourself out to do and that you feel good about and that you're happy about it. But it's really, it's not good to compare yourself to somebody else. So on the market things, datas, we have, we work with different brokers and agents around the world. I mean, anything from, you know, you're talking about a $50,000 property up to millions that we network with. And there's a lot of creative financing going on, a lot of things going on that people can look at. And then there's a lot of people that are renting. But it just depends on what you want to do right now, and just never say never without now we do have a couple things. The rates are probably going to go up. We don't know for sure, you know, but they look like they are because of the economy. It's highly unlikely that they're going to keep them down. We've had a couple inches up, a couple rate changes. So on that, if you want a detailed market in date, of course you can Google and look around, but you're welcome to just email us or go to realityuniversal.com and we can put you in touch with the right people depending on where you are. So we're going to loop back to what's more fun, huh? No. I'm always saying
okay.
It's so much more fun.
I would just like to say one more thing is that the challenges are how you grow. You either give up or you grow. You either triumph or you grow, one or the other. And that's important.
The records that we can play need to be, you know, positive records, change the records. Because I like Mary Morrissey says, up until now, you know, when someone says, I could never do that. I was terrible at that. Oh, I was stupid. Oh, I didn't do this. Or I was always told whatever. Up until now, now I'm going to be brilliant. Now I'm changing it. Now I'm stopping those records, right? And it's a pretty amazing, I think. But you know me, I'll get on my high horse because I don't like when people get down on themselves. I'm like, this, don't, you're a miracle, and remember that, you know.
Right.
And lots of times, though, we have that voice inside that's been telling us for years, so that's why some of us like, you know, chocolate ice cream, others like, you know, strawberry, right? Some of us are drawn towards...
And it wasn't even our voice. It wasn't even our voice to begin with. It was something somebody told us.
Right. But I think you have, that's a good point, because I think we have what we're here to do on Earth. Like you said, you realized in your 50s and you made a change, right? I think we have this holy, the spirit of, and when we're born, I think there's things that we're really good at. And then we have what somebody told us. You hear so many cases and so many times where someone became a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, and they only because their family said to do it. And then they
right.
go through everything and they quit and go totally into another field or go live their dream, right? Definitely. Don't you think there's like that? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it's and
look at George Bush. After he's no longer the president, he's painting.
Isn't that amazing? I saw that.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So a lot of people that in the old days, I remember very well, after you were the president, there was nothing to do, and your life was over.
Oh,
and
that's a shame.
All you could do was write your memoirs, and then they started building libraries.
Mm.
You know,
they do a lot of speeches now, right? A lot of speeches and give back and charities and things. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're on various committees, and they look at President Carter. I mean, he's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Building houses for people that don't have any.
Fantastic, right.
And hammering it himself sometimes, you know. So
the world's really changed.
The limitations are what we agree to. It's like you have to agree. And whether you realize it or not, you are agreeing to some kind of condition. I mean, just like me, when that ER man said I wouldn't move, I said, no, I won't. I refused to accept his diagnosis.
Exactly.
And the only thing that I cannot do with that arm that I used to do before was the wheel, which is like a back bend, you know, and I don't really need to do a back bend.
Oh, no.
It's okay. It's not a great sacrifice.
No. You're very. I mean, what you do is amazing. And the yoga you can do, and the moves you can do. I saw when I came up to Manhattan. It was just like amazing. I was like, oh my gosh, you can do that. Oh, I can't even do that. I need to. But it did make me go, I need to work on that. Not to compare, but just going, because you want your body to be as healthy as it can be, right? Because you can have all the money in the world. You can have everything in the world, and if you don't have your health, you have zero.
Well, what you have to do is set your standards higher, set your goals. I mean, I don't like to make New Year resolutions. I like to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
I like to choose what I'm going to be doing in the coming.
Well, keeping people motivated. For example,
right.
I know in the real estate world with agents and brokers, and there's so many other tools now that we didn't have years ago in real estate, but. And in sales, we have to learn very quickly when you're in and you're new. No means yes. Don't bother about rejections. It's a numbers game. You may talk to 50 people, and just don't let it. Then don't take it personally. But get yourself better and better and better, and listen and learn and see how you can get better and better, and what you can do that works better, that makes it that's for the people. Because when you think about the other person. It's not, it comes back to you. The money comes back to you. So how do people stay motivated when, you know, we're always going to have trials and tribulations. We're always going to have, it's life. We're going to have things happen, right? What keeps somebody every day to go in and just say, I'm going to motivate? Is it the habits? Is it getting up every day and saying, I'm going to go do it, no matter how I feel, and then hope you feel better a couple hours later, or to keep on trying? What do you think?
I think it's how you label things. If you label things as a failure, it's a failure. If you label things as an opportunity to grow, look at what happened and see what you learned from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in every failure, I mean, a failure is a shortcut to success. It's a shortcut to learning.
Right.
It's a chance to learn what works and what doesn't work.
And they say with success, there's many, many failures or many quits. There's no way it's going to win every time, and that's
absolutely
something you just get used to. And then winning for one person might be something else.
Did you ever see a child that got up and walked across the room the very first time they tried?
Nope, never.
I think
it's really realizing we're so unique, because what one likes, another person couldn't even be interested in, you know. And it's a pretty amazing place that we've got. There are more opportunities today than I think than ever. You know, on one hand, things are expensive depending on where you are, but there's still so many opportunities. If somebody gets up, I'm going to mention one quick thing, and quickly, I wouldn't have time to go through the whole thing. John Maxwell, at the end of one of his trainings at the convention, he told a story, and I believe it was he was talking about his grandson. He told a story about, it was Joey, his name was Joey, and he said he went to see the baseball game, and Joey was young, you know, the kids, and he said the kids typically when they're young they can hit the bat and, you know, they still can go far because they're not trying to go way out into outer field. And he said Joey got up to bat and he didn't even move the bat. He didn't move the bat. And he said it reminded me when my son was in baseball, because he started out at like 6 years old and then went all the way up. And after I got in real estate, I started sponsoring the teams. And it reminded me of then, because he mentioned how parents are arguing and they're being not showing good sportsmanship, you know, to the other teams. And I remember that back then, and I used to think, oh, this is terrible. I would bribe the kids with pizza, like, come on, win, and then I'll buy everybody pizza. And I asked my son if I could coach, and he's like, no. And I said, I'll just go to the library. You don't know what you're doing. I'll go to the library and get a book. No, because I was a woman. He didn't want me to. But
yeah, of course.
But,
okay.
So you were also
his mother, and you.
I know.
And
it's like, that would be embarrassing,
you would have been there.
You know? but I remember some parents on different teams doing what they shouldn't be doing. You know, you got to teach the kids sportsmanship. So anyhow, his grandson or Joey was up at the bat and didn't move the bat, and he struck it. And the coach got mad at him. How do you do that to a child, right? So here's John Maxwell, who's Mr. Leadership Guru. He's been in ministry for years. The man's incredible, right? And I think he just turned 70. And he said he was just like, you know, Joey, and he's telling him, go, you know, swing the bat. And then he went up and he talked to him and he told him, you just swing the bat. Doesn't matter how you do it. Just do it. You know what I mean? And swing the bat. And he said that, and because nobody was encouraging him at all, and then he ended I'm shortening the story, but he ended up showing him, just do it, just hit it. And then Joey hit it, and the ball went, and then he ended up getting a home run, like at later point. And but he wouldn't have, because it was surprising. And he said that, you know, Joey told him later, getting in high school, a scholarship for college, for baseball. And what he was saying, he got up and he said to all of us, he said, swing the bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just swing the bat. All you got to do, you got to get in the game. You got to swing it. You don't worry about all the negative, because it's all there. It's going to be there because that's people, right, around you. And just do it and swing the bat. And that's, I think it's a really good way to put it, because we can try everything. We don't have to win at everything. We don't have to make the most of everything. We could just got to swing the bat, right?
When my children were little, I was at a swimming pool, and I saw a little kid go out to the edge of the diving board and stand there and shake and then come off. And this happened about three times, and I went over and I said, hey, didn't anybody ever teach you how to dive? He said, no. I said, you want to learn a real easy way to start out? He said, yeah. So I got him to kneel on the edge of the pool, put his hands together, and just fall into the water. And when you hit the water, you start like you're reaching up, and you come. And when you reach your arms up and you look up, it'll bring you right back to the top of the water. He said, really? I said, yeah. And just try it. And so I put my hand on his back gently, and gave him some encouragement. And he did it, and I went about my business, and a little while later, here was this kid soaking wet, and he says, I did it 12 times.
Aww. You are a true leader. See, isn't that awesome? That's awesome.
When you tell somebody that you will help them find a better way to do it, what do? They grab it.
Yeah.
You don't tell them you're doing that all wrong. This is stupid. You'll never make it. Then they believe you.
Exactly. Yeah. We have so many opportunities to show love and peace, right? We have so many opportunities in life.
It sounds simplistic. It sounds goody-two-shoes, but it isn't. It's reality.
No.
Reality is what you...
Reality yeah.
is the most changeable thing in the world.
True.
The most changeable thing in the world is reality.
You know, people, people, when they're on their deathbeds, aren't saying, you know, I wish or whatever. They're saying, I regret that I didn't do this, or I regret I didn't try this, or I regret I didn't try this. But go do it. You know, you want to, you want to do acting. You don't have to end up being the most famous actor, actress. Go in a play. Go into a thing. If you want to write a book, start writing. You can self-publish these days. If you want to go play baseball, go play basketball, swim. I mean, anything. Start taking walks. And then there's people that, you know, I know we're running out of time. We've got about 5 minutes. I heard the other day a gentleman that has been a paraplegic for 8 years. I heard it on the radio. I'm not sure what the technology is exactly called. He had a fall or hurt him on a bicycle, and he became a paraplegic for 8 years. And now they've got some type of technology that's going in, and he's able to and trick his brain, so to speak. So he's able to pick up a cup now. He's able to take a sip of something with his hand. You know, he's starting to move things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing, right? Because he's got to learn everything all over again. There's just so much out there is my point that I was making, right? Instead of thinking that someone might be paralyzed, go, I can't do this. I can't do it. You can do it because you can walk. Well, I can't do this because you know how many times people will say that with a lot of things.
Of course.
But you don't know, but I can't. But you just don't know my story. You don't know whatever. And guess what? It's that story that keeps us all stuck. I've been guilty of it in my life. You know, all of it, you know, that it keeps us stuck. And just go do it. And don't worry about the outcome. I mean, as long as it's safe and legal and all that kind of
stuff. Henry Ford would say, if you say you can't, you're right. If you say you can, you're right.
I think he filed bankruptcy like 3 times. I'm not sure that, you know, I mean, and he made it, right? He didn't quit.
Sure.
Look at Abraham Lincoln.
No.
Abraham Lincoln, it took quite a lot of tries to get to where he wanted to be, and he didn't quit.
He couldn't even get elected as dog catcher. He failed 17 times.
Oh, and he did it. He didn't quit.
Running for
because
office.
Quit, just quit. It's just like when I say in sales, no means yes. No means yes, right? Quit
is a dirty word. It's a dirty word.
It is. It is. It's like, you know, don't just go do it, you know, go do it. Try at least there's so many different ways to do things, too. Sometimes people and perfection. I have to say, you know, we have to dot our I's and cross our T's. And in the real estate industry, we better know those contracts. We better make sure we're double checking because we can legally hurt somebody or get in trouble ourselves. Right. So we have to double check. But perfection. So many people won't put their idea out or their dream or something they made or writing or because they think it's not perfect. But then it stops us, right? It stops. So that's where you redo and redo and redo. So I just hope everybody listening now gets that, you know, that just go do it. Hit that, swing that bat, take that chance, jump in that pool, right? Dive
and
in.
Start that business and get out there and
do it.
Something instead of giving up. When there's no earthly reason to give up.
Do you know, living in Hawaii as a kid, and I knew I was going back, I gave up so much to go back, and I didn't know a soul when I went back, and I did it from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no fear.
Yeah.
Now I'd probably have more fear because I'm older, but it's not getting the ribbon at the finish line, and don't get me wrong. I mean, it is wonderful that people go and they go through the finish line, but it really is about getting up, hitting the bat, getting up, doing it, you know, getting in that game. As they say, I hope you dance, you know.
Yes.
And when you were saying you showed him how to do the pull, I was thinking you were going to say you went up and you just pushed him in and said, see how easy that was? No.
No.
I know you wouldn't do that.
But
I
empowered him.
Yeah.
And
you did.
I knew... safe way to do something.
Right.
And so I helped him to get his own power, and I never saw him again. But
really? That's where mentorship.
His
mentorship comes in.
His eyes were sparkling, and
he was so happy.
He could hardly stand his skin. He was so happy.
I love it. I love it. And that's where mentorship comes in, you know, when you don't know, you can learn. Learn from somebody else, learn from a, you know.
Absolutely.
And coaching and getting into you get into the habit and you start looking at it differently and you say, hey, I see that glass half full. I do see light at the end of the tunnel, you know. It's not that there's going to be things that won't knock us down, because they are, believe me, they will. But you can get back up, get back up and follow that dream. And awesome. I always love when you come on, too, because your wisdom is beyond, and it's amazing. So, well, we are coming to the end of our show.
I've had a long time to learn.
And yeah,
I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've made a lot of mistakes. But I think I learned from most of them.
You're amazing. And, you're a true leader.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you very, very much.
And
oh,
so
thank
are
you.
I mean, you innovate, you create, and you work things through, and you make things easier for other people. I mean, there's
thank you.
The only difference between us is the field we work in.
That's true. No. You have a lot more wisdom, but it's a learn. We're always learning. I always think we can learn from everybody every day, right? Everybody. There's nobody
Absolutely.
That knows, you know, we all know something different from each person. So it's just so interesting to learn about people. And that's the part I love about real estate. Otherwise, I probably would have quit a long time ago, because there's parts of it that seem very boring. But when you put the people in and the lives and the serving and all that together, then it makes it worthwhile, you know. So we are going to go and see
somebody that is so happy with what you help them to get.
Yeah.
That makes it worth it, everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It makes it worth it when you hear someone say, I was afraid to do this, and then I thought about what you would say, and now I'm doing it, right? Those types of things, I think, are just seeing people reach their dreams and pay it forward, you know. So to
That's
everybody out
for.
There, thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mary. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.